I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. ISIS with drones. Yeah, it's a worrying proposition. Today, France confirmed an incident earlier this month that left two Kurdish fighters dead and wounded a couple of French special forces. It happened near Mosul in northern Iraq. A drone, apparently piloted remotely by ISIS, was shot down and was on the ground being examined by Kurdish and French forces when it exploded. An example, perhaps, of how ISIS, even on the back foot, is capable of innovating new and dangerous tactics. David Knoll is a research analyst at CNA, that's a not-for-profit research and analysis organization in Arlington, Virginia. He's just finished a year-long study titled Adaptive and Innovative, an Analysis of ISIL's Tactics in Iraq and Syria. So with this case, David, is the idea that ISIS, or ISIL in your study, put a bomb on this drone expecting it to be snatched by the French to be then detonated, or were they actually piloting a drone that would launch a missile just as U.S. drones do?
Well, it's unclear based on the information we have so far exactly whether it's a booby trap or a suicide drone, if you will. However, ISIS has certainly proved in the past their ability to innovate at the tactical level. We've seen them use things like their barbarity and their social media, waves of massive truck bombs, as well as some of their shaping operations, i.e. before they took cities like Mosul and Ramadi, they really prepared the battlefield in such a way that when they went in a large force, the Iraqi security forces fell before them because of that preparation.
So give us what you feel is like the best example of ISIS innovation.
Sure, they're mass truck bombs. Now, certainly truck bombs have existed for a long time, but ISIS has really made three small changes to these truck bombs that have made them innovative. First, they've up-armored them, protecting the driver from small arms fire as he's trying to make his way to his target. Second is they've used them in these large waves. So in Ramadi in 2015, they sent 30 truck bombs to a single target. And lastly, they put a lot of explosive in them.
As you say, there's this kind of psychological component to seeing like Mad Max in real life.
Absolutely. The psychological component is just as important.
How has ISIS been able to innovate so fast when other terrorist groups have been slower to adapt?
The key is fast cycle, going from development to employment. They're able to identify through their structure what the best innovation is, but they're also willing to accept innovation. There's been cases in the past, thinking of Fatah in Palestine, where an innovation is self-evident, such as a suicide bomb, but the organization is too hierarchical and bureaucratic to accept a new innovation. They push it out. It's the same thing as large organizations in the private sector versus startups.
You talk about ISIS like they're a Silicon Valley tech company, like a startup. I mean, do you see some comparisons?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the keys to understanding terrorist insurgent militant groups is to think of them as organizations made of human. Human behavior is very similar. As terrorist or insurgent groups get larger, they tend to develop more hierarchy and more bureaucratic processes, and they tend to be less innovative. What's made ISIS impressive so far, and remember, it's a fairly young organization, is as it's grown to tens of thousands of fighters, they've maintained that ability to see innovation for what it is and adopt the best of it.
And now that ISIS is being downgraded, are they just as lethal in scattered small numbers, but with an ability to innovate faster than its enemies?
I'd say so. As long as we don't target their true center of gravity, which I argue is their ability to innovate, they'll remain lethal. In 2006, 2007, when al-Qaeda in Iraq, the predecessor to ISIS, had been so decimated by the U.S.-led coalition in Iraq, they were down to less than 50 fighters. Yet they went underground, they thought about who they wanted to be and what they wanted to do, and today we have ISIS. And so unless we really target their ability to innovate, ISIS can continue to shrink, but they'll wait it out. They have patience. They're thinking in hundreds of years, not single years, and they'll strike when the time is ripe.
Yeah, I mean, given all that, how do you even start to think about targeting their innovation?
Well, I argue that you need to think of high-value targets. We typically think of high-value targets as high within the organizational hierarchy. So the higher the leader, the better target, and the more important it is to take that person out or to capture them. I argue you need to think of it high value in terms of innovative, and that's two parts. First are those with the technical skills, those who perhaps make chemical weapons, those who might be expert in information technology or bomb making. And second are those people within the organization that identify that innovation and then help push it to the rest of the group. Because if innovation is made at the local level but it's not proliferated to the rest of the group, it's not going to have much effect. And so if you target those two groups of high-value innovation targets, then you'll inhibit the group's ability to come up with new tactics.
David Knoll, who's just finished a year-long study into ISIS's tactics for CNA, that's a nonprofit research group in Arlington, Virginia. David, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Marco.